know, he's so funny, so cute, he's so progressive. He's got two gay mums. What could go wrong?
So I'm up there, tits in the air, just kind of waving around, trying to see if anyone's on their balcony.
We're all pulling and it's like really stark. And I'm like, okay, like I'm just gonna like call the lesbians. They will have a crowbar.
I'm like, is it because I talk like a cartoon? I'm like pretty sure people are masturbating to cartoons across cultures.
And I was really excited to have casual sex, right? Because when you're in a relationship, you're always having formal sex.
Right? Like, oh God, I could have sex where I don't have to make eye contact. I don't have to wear a blazer or anything.
What?
Can't believe this pair.
We're back again and we've gone bigger and better. I can see people at the back up there. Let's go.
Wow. Thank you all so much for being here. If you don't know who we are, for some reason, someone's brought you along. My name's Dee Salmon.
I'm Pip Rasmussen, and this is the Hookup Live podcast. We have got a theme for the show this year. Last year, it was kind of just like cooked hookup stories, and this time we thought, let's get a narrative arc in there. So the show, we're basing it off the prompt, when did you know? So our comedians are going to come up and tell stories about that, but we thought we would warm you guys up, wet your whistle a little bit. So we'll start off maybe with our own.
Yeah, Pip. So, okay, there got to be stories like, when did you know it was time to break up? When did you know they were the one? When did you know you were in love? When did you know when you got the ick?
When did you know you were over them and you were like, I'm free, like the meme with the chains breaking off?
Do you have a pivotal moment in your life when you just knew?
Yes. I'm going to tell you a story about when I knew that an age gap does not matter in a relationship. Yeah. So I historically have dated people older than me like my whole life. Like my ex was like 9 years older than me and it's been a current pattern. And I've kind of just, the relationships have never really worked out, let's just say.
Yeah, you realize like dating older maybe isn't for you.
Yeah,
something's
exactly.
Something's not working.
Something, it wasn't me. It couldn't be me that was the problem. It was definitely them and it was definitely the age gap. And I thought, you know what? I've been hearing a lot of people on the show say that dating younger people is really good because they're like progressive, they're fun, they're awesome. And I was like, maybe I need to give young guys a go. So this is what happened. I actually met a young fella out in the wild. Crazy. Yep. At Laneway Festival to set the scene, 2024, Charlie XCX is playing. I'm making out with a young bloke for the whole set. Didn't see a single song. And
she didn't. I was there.
You were there.
I was there. You were behind me. And me and Mel, who's here as well, we looked behind and we were like, well, I guess Charlie isn't one of her favourite artists.
So long story short, I find out, I had no idea at the time, but he was like, oh, I'm actually 23. Guess how old I was? 31.
Yeah, like 9 years younger.
And I was like, oh my fucking God, this is bad. But then I was like, no, let's give it a go. Let's, you know, give him a chance. And so I did. We were dating for a bit and my friends were like, I don't know, Pip. I don't know if that's like a really good idea. I was like, no, he's so funny, so cute, he's so progressive. He's got two gay mums. What could go wrong? And turns out he actually did end up ghosting me. And I've never heard from him. And I even did like the whole like olive branch message of like, it's fine if you don't want to see me anymore, but like, just let me know, please.
And some phone calls.
We put the phone on no call ID. Classic.
We're like, maybe he actually just like got in an accident and like, you know.
The narratives that we were telling ourselves.
Like he's young.
Yeah, who knows?
He's articulate.
Yeah. So then that's when I knew that age gaps, age differences, it doesn't matter. Men will always disappoint you. Dee, what was your when did you know story?
Okay, so my story is when I knew I was better in a crisis than my partner.
Oh!
So I have permission to tell the story. I think it's used on my face. Thank you, Darcy. So when my partner and I first started dating, we both really bonded over saunas. I, as a Russian girl, have grown up with saunas my whole life, have one in my house, crazy, I know, and he happened to have a sauna at his. So it became a bit of like a date night for us. It was like, do you want to come over and have a sauna? And so this is a couple months in, I was like, absolutely. His sauna is on the third level of the house. So let me explain it to you. It's basically on a balcony, a really small balcony, just the sauna and a door. So it's about 9 p.m. on a Wednesday night and we're naked, of course. That's what you do in a sauna.
Obviously.
No silly business. And we shut the door, sit in the sauna, having a bit of a chat. And then we're like, all right, I think we're done. It's about 9:30. My partner goes to open the door, doesn't open. I'm like, okay, what's going on there? Like, what's happening? And then tries again. He goes, we're locked outside.
No phone.
Completely naked. No water. And let me explain to you, third level, nothing else in sight, just a balcony. Wait, looked over the edge, it's just like you can't even really scale the building. Mm. So I'm trying to remain calm. I'm going like, I think I said something like, oh, you know, maybe I'll use my earring and we'll just like peek through the lock. Like I'm going MacGyver thinking of all these ideas and like really brainstorming. And I'm just seeing this like 6'7" giant naked man grabbing a sauna stool, trying to slam it into the door. Like trying to break this glass door, and I'm going, oh my God, I cannot believe, getting the ick a little bit.
Yeah.
Naked body flying around.
What was your mentality at this point? You were...
I was just trying to think of actually logistical, logical things. I was like, what could actually help? Like, can we unlock it? Blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, I'm going to have to scale the building. And I'm like,
oh my God.
You cannot scale the building. It's also raining.
Yes.
He needs his body for his job.
Yeah.
And so I was like, please, he's like halfway over climbing, it's slipping. I'm like, please, like, I don't want to end with like you breaking your back. So I reckon by this point we've been out there locked for an hour and I'm going,
fuck,
what are we going to do? And then I had the idea, I was like, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jump up over the balcony ledge and I'm just going to, so it's basically an apartment block where there's heaps of other apartments around and I'm going to have to wait until I see someone come out on their balcony or if anyone has their door open and I'll scream out to them for help. So I'm up there, tits in the air, just kind of waving around, trying to see if anyone's on their balcony. I see over in the distance, this like woman comes out to put her washing out and I just scream, help! I was like, hello? You over there? I was like, can you please help me? And she's like, hello? And I'm like, tits out going, I'm really sorry, but we're locked out on our balcony and we can't get in. And then so she's just like, oh, come. We shout out the name of the apartment. She comes out the front. I'm so embarrassed and mortified. And we basically had to scream down the lock code for her to come into the house, get the key.
Yeah.
And eventually, the neighbor came over and she kind of went like this and was like, I'm not looking. And then opened the door. And then we kind of, you know, thanked her so much and said goodbye. And we both just kind of lay on the couch and were like, silent for an hour, traumatized. But I realized, I was like, wow, you might be on high demand, high intensity fields every week, but I, sir, am better in a crisis.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Well, we're going to bring on some comedians now to tell their stories of when did they know. Please give it up for Lou Wall. Hello, Lou.
Hello.
What's up?
Now, look, tell us about your show. It's called Where Are All the Tall Grandmas?
Yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
Any in? Any tall grandmas in?
Any around?
Glad I wrote the show then. essentially, it's not really a comedy show. It's an FBI investigation.
Uh-huh.
Into where the fuck they are. Because I'm tall. I'm like 6'5", so I need to figure out what happens next in my future.
Right. Mm. And how have you found dating as a tall person? You know, I feel like we've done an episode on this, like height in dating, and people have really polarizing opinions on it.
It's crazy because I think in the gay world, it kind of doesn't matter at all, right? Because like in queerness, you're already subverting gender, right? So I used to be a lesbian and to be... I will say I'm bisexual now, but when I was a lesbian, I made it my life goal to erase bisexuals.
It's really a thing.
Yeah. It's really a problem.
Anyway, how the turns have tabled. I used to, like, one of my exes was like 5 foot, like, fuck all. And they were transitioning, so they were on T, trans mask. And when you take T, like, often you go through, like, a second puberty. And so they looked really young. I'm 6'5". I've looked 40 since I was 12. Like, people, like, when we would hold hands walking down the street, I think people would think that I was, like, taking my son to school. Like...
No.
But height to me like doesn't really fucking matter in queer relationships, but in straight relationships, like men get so like. But what I have been doing, which I know is bad and I shouldn't, but I think it's funny, is so I won't put my height in my bio in the dating apps. Right? I feel like it's a guy thing to do. I won't put my height, but when I go,
just lie.
Yeah, and when I go on dates with straight men, I will like get there early and I will start seated. And then when they enter, I just rise.
What's the reaction?
I mean, if the reaction is bad, the date ends there.
Yeah.
I love a short king.
Yes. All right. So are we ready to tell your story?
Yeah. What's your... Mm-hmm. When did you know, Lou?
Mine is, when did I know that first impressions counted? And I guess I've told this story. I used to do this bit as a stand-up bit, but no one knew the context that I was actually going on a date at the time. So essentially, this happened many years ago. I was going on a date with a guy. Obviously, I had to get there early. And I'm walking and it starts to like kind of rain and I'm really close to the restaurant we are meeting at. And so I start like, you know, people who wear glasses know that when it rains and the rain gets on your glasses, you can't see. So I like started doing this and like looking down and I'm walking across the road. And just before I hit like the curb, there's one of those grates that, I don't know if like, I think Sydney has them as well, but like a very Melbourne like grate drain and like a little hole. And I see a puppy in the drain. And so immediately, like, the date goes out of my mind. I'm like, it's a rescue mission. And so I kind of start, like, freaking out. Like, I try and, like, pull it, but it's not budging. Like, it's, like, really jammed in. And then, like, I'm, like, yell, like, there's a couple of skaters across the road. And I'm like, put down your vapes. This is an emergency. Like, yeah. And two other people stop and we're like pulling. And by this time, it's like the water is also rising in the drain. And I know these type of dogs, it's like looks like quite golden and brown, like maybe like a cavoodle or something. And I'm really starting to like freak out. There's like no one around. So I'm like, whose dog could this possibly be? And we're all pulling and it's like really stark. And I'm like, okay, like I'm just going to like call the lesbians. They will have a crowbar. And so I call my ex and I'm like, got a crowbar, bring your tools. And then I also like called my old boss because he had a restaurant on that street and he came like 20 minutes later. He brought like a fork. I was like, can't.
Can never trust a man. I keep saying.
Yeah.
Crisis.
And then, so by this time there's about six people, right? And we're literally all pulling. My ex has come, that she has a crowbar and it's really fucking not coming off. And it starts to like downpour. And you know the Melbourne downpours, like when they happen, you're instantly soaked. So I feel like quite bad that like we can't get this dog out. And then also that I'm making all these people get like sopping wet. And we're pulling and we're pulling. And then finally, once we put the crowbar in, one side leveled it up and then on the other side leveled it up, we open the drain and I'm like, thank God, like I'm like tears of relief at this stage. Yeah. I jump into the drain, I pick it up and that is when I realise it's not a dog, it is a croissant.
No! What do you mean?
Are you serious?
You didn't seeing eyeballs and barking?
You weren't like, come on over here. Like,
I wasn't hearing bark.
Lou.
Are you serious? Did no one else around you notice that?
No, because the water was coming up by the time. And so, I naturally am like, this is the worst day of my fucking life. Like, I'm a myopic bitch. And then I don't know how it is possible to make this situation worse. But there's two guys standing there. And what I don't realise is that one of these guys is my date.
No!
And he turns to the other guy and thinks I'm out of earshot and just goes to him, does she think that's her dog? And then I say, the worst thing a queer Gen Z person from Melbourne can possibly ever say. I go, my pronouns are actually they, them. And that is when I knew that first impressions fucking matter.
I love that so much because as well, when we were chatting backstage, you were like, I think I want to save the punchline. Yeah. And people and I were like, yeah, let's like save the punchline. And I was floored. That is so funny.
I think you need to check your prescription glasses. Something's not right here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone give it up for Lou Wall!
All right, let's give it up for our next guest. It's time for Fergus Neil.
What's up?
What's up?
Oh, gorgeous. So, just I love it when someone gets comfy.
I love that sound.
Well, Pete and I always try and create a bit of a lounge room vibe. So, like, just knowing that you can sit there and just be like, oh, I'm at home.
Yeah. It's very chill in here.
It's good. Mm. Welcome.
So, obviously, you know the theme.
Yes.
When did you know? What is your story that you have for us today?
Mine's, like, when did you know you'd do anything for a crush?
Oh, I love this.
I think early dating, like, you just put the blinkers on and you'll do literally anything so that they'll love you.
Okay. Take it from the top.
So I was, this is like third date with my girlfriend now, and we were walking from Richmond, we're going to Pellegrini's, all right, beautiful Italian restaurant in the city. I'm appealing to a Melbourne crowd here. We're going to a beautiful restaurant, and a guy fell over on the street, his name was Glenn, and we went to Glenn, and we said, are you okay? He said, I'm okay, and we both looked at each other, we said, we'll drive you home. You know, because, you know, I'm trying to be a hero here, you know. I'm like, we'll drive you home. My girlfriend's like, yeah, we'll drive you home for sure. And so we're like, where do you live? He says, Dalesford.
Can you explain that to anyone who... I'm sure everyone from...
I was like, fuck!
Yeah, where is that in relation?
3 hours away, right?
It's further than my Renault Scenic it can drive. So, yeah, so we drive 3 hours.
Wait, so you were like, sure. You and your girlfriend were like, yep, we'll take you.
I was lonely. I was like, I will drive this man anywhere. And my girlfriend says that we'll drive him. So we drive him to Dalesford. And in the car, it turns out he's like a artist, professional tarot card reader. So he does our tarot on the way.
Wow.
We get there. We drop him off. He's okay. We come back to Melbourne. And yeah, my girlfriend, she's like, I thought you guys were going to murder me in the woods. Of Dallas. I'm like, why didn't you say anything? She's like, I wanted to get my tarot read.
Was it a good tarot reading? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think, it turned out this guy was like one of the oldest stencil artists in Australia. So then the next day we went to his exhibition in Melbourne, and now me and Glenn, we follow each other on Instagram, and I'm like, you've got to MC our wedding if it comes into fruition.
Oh, God, yes.
Give it up for Glenn.
Give it up for Glenn, yeah.
So, like, basically an Australian Banksy.
Kind of, yeah.
Wow.
Except we know who he is.
Yes.
we really got to know him on that three-hour car journey.
So you then spoke to your girlfriend, you're like, I just did that because I was trying to impress you.
Well, now we're like, we would probably just walk past. Sorry.
No, I know the feeling. When you're on your best behaviour, right, when you first meet somebody and you just go so above and beyond.
You'll do anything. Like, there are probably first dates in here. Are there any first dates in tonight?
Oh,
there
what?
Are.
What?
Like, they're in the stage now. They're going to do anything today to impress the partner, you know? They're being careful what they laugh at. And
yeah.
You don't even look at your bank balance. You're just touching and fucking going, Jesus Christ.
Do you feel like people, like for the first stages, do you think you should milk that for all it's worth? I feel like, you know what I mean? Kind of just take them for a ride a little bit. See how far they'll go.
I love you, like, just exploit that.
Go to Dalesford.
Yeah.
Really great way to start.
Go to the hot springs. Check it out. It's very lovely. Meet Glenn.
Fergus, I love that story.
That is incredible. And give it up for Fergus, everyone.
Thank you, Fergus Neil.
Thank you.
All right, our next comedian coming on to tell their story. Please give it up for Lara Ricotte.
Hi,
Lara.
Hi, thanks for seeing it together.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for coming down. And by coming down, I mean you have been jet-setting all around the world.
Yes.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Miami, Amsterdam, London.
Yeah.
Being a world tour queen.
Thanks. I live in London, but I am Mexican, and then I grew up in Miami, Florida, not my fault. And then I moved to Amsterdam to study political theory because that's what I was interested in at the time. And I still think it's good, that study. I think that's a good study. But then I became a comic, and so now I do this. And then I moved to London just now because I went through a big breakup. Shut up about it.
Okay. Noted. How do you feel about Australia since you've been touring so much?
I like it so much here. I like doing my show here so much. It's so fun. I really think, like, it's worth all the time because, like, you guys kind of get me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel got. I feel got when
you
I
feel
get,
got.
Yeah, I feel got, like, in the good sense of the word.
All right, well, the theme today is when did you know?
Yeah.
What is the story that you're going to share?
When did I know? Don't listen to your horny sister. Not like, don't listen to her. Don't only listen to her. Listen to yourself also, girl.
Okay. All right, please explain. I need to know more.
So I go on Field. Whatever, okay? I go on Field and I meet this guy. This guy, 6'7", Salvador Dali looking, okay? He's like this. I like him. I'm into him. I can't even believe that. I'm like, yep. And I do think, like, the guys that you're into, like, their physical attributes, they say a lot about, like, where you're at. Like, I used to like men with really small eyes and very big mouths. Like, men who are, like, they're, like, mysterious. And they got, like, a lot of ideas they're talking about, but you don't know where they got them from, but they're talking a lot. And now I like men with, like, really big eyes and really small little mouths. So that, the men, they're, like, in awe of the world, but, like, they just, like, meditate. Shh. That's what I like now. And this guy, big eye, little mouth, mustache. Yeah, yeah, get that. And we meet up at a bar. It's like kind of exciting. We like make out in the bar. I'm like, I'm alive. And seriously, I am. It feels like that. And then we go back to his. He's funny. He's like interesting. It's nice. And like, I haven't had sex since my breakup. And it's been 6 months. Not for lack of trying. I have been trying to have sex. Every single guy I've tried to have sex with did not have an erection. And I literally, I'm like, is it because I talk like a cartoon? Is that the thing? I'm like pretty sure people are masturbating to cartoons across cultures.
No, they definitely are.
They definitely are. Cartoon is a big type of porno.
Hentai is like one of the biggest. It's in the top five.
It's top five. Yep. Hello?
Hello?
But whatever. This time it's nice. It works. We have a really lovely date, like a really fun date. And like we stay in bed all the next day and like we like watch movies and we smoke weed and we have sex. And I really hope it counts if you smoke weed and have sex and have sex if you smoked weed. Because if not, I'm a virgin. That's just a joke for you guys. And then we decide, okay, maybe we do this every once in a while. Like, maybe we have, like a 24-hour boyfriend-girlfriend type of thing. It sounds amazing, like, once a month. And then time goes by, and, like, I go back home, whatever, and then I come back, and he invites me to a 30th birthday party. Okay, this was all prelude. Now we're going interlude. He invites me to a 30th birthday party. He puts me in a group chat with, like, 250 people. I'm, like, pretty excited that I'm in there. I'm, like, great. I'm, like, random girl number three, you know? Like, I'm, like... Okay, awesome. I'm going to a party. It's London. This is how I feel. And I go to the party, and, like, I'm having a great time. I'm dancing. It's really nice. I bring my sister with me, not because I don't have any other friends, but because my other friend was busy. And I'm, like, dancing. I'm really enjoying myself. And at the end of the party, it's, like, 4 a.m., and I'm leaving, and I'm going to tell him, like, hey, I'm going to go. And my sister goes... My sister, what you have to know about her is she's horny, okay? That's like her main attribute at this moment of the story. She's horny. She's like, just grab him and like give him a big kiss. Like, give him a big kiss. Because she wants to give somebody a big kiss, but she can't because she doesn't know anybody. But I know one guy. She's like, grab him. Just give him a... And I'm like, I don't know if I can... She's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, okay. And I go, and I give him this big kiss, and he's a little bit, like, startled because 250 people of his that he knows from his life, and I'm random girl number three. And, like, I'm like, whatever. he's like, and he, like, walks me outside, and he's like, he, like, gives me a kiss there. And now you have to know, I'm on a little bit of MDMA. I'm on a little bit of MDMA at this point of the story. And it's important for you to know that because, also, just a little bit. Okay, if you take a tiny little bit, the next day you kind of wake up like this. Not bad, just a little bit of it. We kiss, and like, I'm on a little bit of MDMA, and I don't give a little tiny shit about this kiss. It kind of sucks, and I go, okay, well, MDMA is like a revelatory drug. It's not like it doesn't lie to you. But then he goes, hey, my ex-girlfriend wants to gift me a threesome for my birthday.
As a
present.
And okay? It's his ex.
Yeah, so they've been away, they've been, like, not together for, like, 10 years or whatever. I don't know this guy. And I'm like, how is she going to give you a threesome? She's only one. And he's like, no, you would be the third. And I go, I understand. And he's like, what does she look like? Because she could be Salvador Dali little. I don't know, you know? And I'm like, what does she look like? And she shows me a photo of her. And in the photo, she is wearing a crown because she is a beauty pageant queen. she's a beauty pageant queen. This girl looks like when you're 10 and you're a boy and you look up hot girl boob, please. She's AI, okay? AI girl. Yeah. She looks like something I've never seen in real life. And I go, she wants to have a threesome with me? Because I'm, like, pretty sure we have really different ideas of what sexy is. Like, I think sexy is, like, when a tooth is, like, a little bit above another tooth. And I'm pretty sure what she thinks sexy is, like, the computer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. And he goes, she wants to have a threesome. Like, she'd have, like, a threesome with, like, a booger poop person. And that's what he's referring to me as. And I'm like, oh, well, that makes me feel amazing. I go, okay, I don't think I want to have a threesome. Like, I think I'd like to feel, like, desired, if anything. And I go, I don't think then. And then I go back inside. I tell my sister, and I get us an Uber. And my sister goes, don't you want to, like, take the opportunity? She's like, this is my sister. She's like, you don't want to, like, when are you going to have the opportunity to, like, have a threesome? And I'm like, well, maybe if I smoke a little bit of weed, I might have a threesome. I've never had one. You go, when am I going to have the opportunity? I go outside, I smoke a little bit of weed, my sister leaves, and he comes out and she comes out. Like, they come, and they don't even look at me, okay? They just pass by.
Oh,
oh, and I go, no, before that, I go to him and I say, okay, final answer, I'll have a threesome. And he's like, okay, just go outside, whatever. And then they come outside and they sort of pass me. And I'm like, all right, like, he's over there, she's over there. I'm like, I'm going to go introduce myself to her. And I go and I say, hi, I'm Lara. And she goes,
oh. Oh,
so no. She has no idea she's about to have sex with me.
Oh.
I'm like, girl, you got no idea. No, but and then she kind of, like, moves away. And I'm, like, standing there, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why am I waiting here to have sex with two cartoon people? Like, I'm like, what am I doing? And I'm going to call myself an Uber. And I'm like, I'm just going to go and tell them. Like, I'm not doing this. And my mouth gets extremely dry, okay? Like, I've never had such a dry mouth in my life. And my upper lip is like this, okay? I'm like this. And I go to him and I go, hey, you communicated this badly. I'm like, you communicated this badly, and I think I'm going to go. And she's like, no, Lara, don't go. Because now she knows who I am. I guess he told her, whatever. And I'm like, no, yeah, I'm leaving. I don't think. I'm like, this could have been, like, a really sexy threesome, but, like, I don't think, like. I was like, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, man. I said it really nice. And then I got in the Uber, and then I recorded the conversation that I had with the Uber because he asked me, like, how how was my night?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it was really good. I went dancing. That's the end of it.
So you got your Bugs Bunny ass right out of there. Yeah. I'm obsessed with that. Lara.
That was straight up. I'm not even for one second kidding.
Wow. Was your sister disappointed?
She was apologetic. She was like, I'm so horny, I can't even believe. Like, every sign, it was like, these people were like, I guess, if you want to have a threesome. I'm like, I guess. Everyone's like this. My sister's like, she's not even a part of it.
Honestly, I think your sister needs to go have a wang.
She does.
You should have introduced her to him. Yeah. All right, Lara Ricotte, thank you so much. Honestly, sometimes people just need to rub it out. The sister is a bad influence.
I know.
The
devil on the shoulder. I really thought the story would end with her being like, and then my sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that,
like,
too.
So funny. All right. Our final story you're about to hear is from comedian Sophie Duca.
Woo!
Welcome, Sophie, to the stage. Okay, Sophie, I have to say, when we told our friends that you were coming to be a part of the show, I was like, yeah, Sophie Duca. And they're like, oh. From Taskmaster?
Yeah.
Yes. Hello, everyone who doesn't know, this is the winner of UK Taskmaster right here.
Thank you.
That's right.
Yes, yes. It's a game based on skill and talent.
And apparently licking a lot of things.
I licked a lot of things in the show. It was not required, but I felt get the tongue out. You got to get out the moneymaker when you're on a format,
that's
right?
That's true. Well, look, we've got you here to tell a story about when did you know... Tell us, what is it?
Okay, so this is a story about when did I know that they had baggage?
Ooh.
Oh, yes. So this is about the last time I was single, and I was really excited to have casual sex, right? Because when you're in a relationship, you're always having formal sex, right? I was like, oh, God, I can have sex where I don't have to make eye contact, I don't have to wear a blazer or anything. So I had two dates set up, two dates in 1 week. First date, I got on the date, very exciting, dinner date. I didn't know not to do that. Got on the date, and the first thing I noticed was that the girl wasn't wearing any socks. Okay, I know this
Wait,
is Australia,
kind of shoe
you have
was she
a different
wearing?
Climate. Okay, no, let me...
Sorry. I'm
call me old-fashioned. I think you should have a bit of fabric underfoot on a first date, right? You know, wear your church shoes. First thing she asked me, right, before we even ordered our starters was this. She was like, if you could erase one thing from your life, what would it be? If you could erase one thing from your life, what would it be? Firstly, I think it is very wild that an adult woman in Crocs is asking me about my mistakes. I didn't know anything about this woman. The only thing I knew about her from her online dating profile, which meant that the only thing I knew about her was that she liked electronic music.
That says a lot.
Yeah, to be honest, it is a red flag. Also, it's the 2020s. All music is electronic music. Grow up. So that was the first time I was like, okay, maybe people aren't looking for fun on these dates. They're looking for flaws. I went on another date. I'm very optimistic, so I arrived second. When I got there, my date was already there, and they were reading a book. And I don't know about you, but whenever I see someone I fancy reading in public, I always think, how chic. Because if I'm reading in public, I'm trying to project certain things, right? Like I'm trying to project maturity. Mm. I'm trying to project serenity. I'm trying to project literacy. But if I'm reading in public, the only thing going through my tiny animal brain is, I hope everyone can see me reading. I can't even focus on the words on the page. Right? I'm so in love with the thought of myself reading. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I look beautiful. I look like a French woman in a film. So I go and as I see them, they're reading. They can't see me, but I can see the title of their book that they are reading. And it is a book title that was not familiar to me then, but is painfully familiar to me now, right? It was probably familiar to you, might be familiar to some of the queers, some of the frequent daters in the audience. It is a book that was entitled, if you know the title, you can finish it for me. It's a book that was called The Body...
Keeps the score.
Thank you. The body.
The body keeps the score.
Yeah, we know it.
And The Body Keeps the Score, as the lesbians will know, is a book about trauma. Right? Real deep trauma. Not TikTok trauma, like my boss stopped me vaping at work. Real deep trauma. It is not, as I assumed, a book about basketball. I was like, okay, I saw it. I was like, I thought it was a fun phrase, right? I thought it was a cute phrase. I was like, oh, I thought it's like a stitch in time saves line. It rang a bell. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to mention it straight away. I'm just going to keep it in my back pocket and mention it later in the date in case it ever feels relevant. So then we had a very normal conversation for about 40 minutes. We're really getting on. And then they say something like, oh, you got the first round. I'll get the next one. And I go, the body keeps the score. I can't explain to you how unhinged that is.
What was her face? She was.
It's immediately just like dropped, right? I was like, this is terrible. She disappeared from here. She goes to me, but I didn't realize that it's a crazy thing to say. It's like going ashes to ashes and then putting out a cigarette on your forearm.
Yeah. It basically is.
She was reading it because she had experienced a lot of trauma, and that is when I found out that she had baggage.
Sophie. Yeah, that book is it's like PTSD, like 500 pages.
Hey.
It's very heavy.
It is actually on my list to read, but I'm actually so nervous about it. Like, I'm intimidated by the book.
I mean, I think it's good to be like reading about like trauma, like and working through and like healing stuff. But on a first date,
like, is that really the mindset? Like, I'm listening to Dua Lipa. Do you know what I mean? I'm at home pumping myself up, and then going on the first date. I'm not getting deep into my trauma.
I would have preferred it to be reading literally any other
anything,
book.
Anything else?
Mein Kampf, The Menu. The Body Keeps the Score.
Oh, God, Sophie, thank you so much for
telling
that story.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
We want to play a really fun game with you. So let us explain. It's called Green Flag, Red Flag.
I wonder what it could mean. Dee, please explain.
So Pip and I, if you've got those cards handy near you, Pip and I are basically going to read a bunch of things and you will get to decide if you think it's a red flag or if you think it's a green flag. We have a very special guest who's going to help judge what is a green flag and what is a red flag. Can we please welcome to the stage Mr. Dave Woodhead?
Now, look, you've got a little gavel.
Have I got the gavel?
Here, somewhere over there, behind these boxes. Sorry.
So just quickly as well, for anyone who isn't familiar with Dave, Dave Woodhead is a comedian. You've got a show happening.
How the fuck did I miss this the first
time? I know, I was like, he's breaking the set.
Oh my God.
He's also the presenter of Triple J Lunch as well, by the way. Huge gig. Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
That's a massive gig.
Yeah.
Dee, do you want to start us off?
All right. They have no social media. Hold up your green flag.
Or your red flag.
Or your red flag.
Oh, okay. A lot of green. I'm thinking more green than red at this point.
What do you think, Pip? Is that a green flag or a red flag for you?
I think for me personally, green flag.
Green flag?
I think, like, you know, if they don't have a history, I'm literally like, great, clean slate. Don't need to worry about it. What about you?
If I can't judge you very quickly, I'm going to be very upset. The other day, my sister went on a date with a guy and she was like, he doesn't have any social media. And I was like, ask for his LinkedIn.
Oh!
And he gave it to her. And I said, I need to stalk this guy. What's he do for a job? Googled him, looked up his whole life.
Yeah, so if I said like, oh, I'm dating someone and they don't have social media, you'd be like, psychopath.
Oh,
who are they? They're off the grid. They're dangerous. I don't know, I kind of like it. I feel like it's like a touch grass moment. I feel like they're one, I don't know, they're better than me because I'm addicted to social media.
Yeah. Dave, what do you think?
Look, I mean, I purely think it's a case-by-case manner. You know, like...
You're taking this role so
serious.
Hello? Oh, well, hold on.
Hey.
Listen, I think like... Look, I mean, we're all pretty... I'm looking around. We all seem like, you know, pretty chilled, normal people in the room. You know, if any of us were talking to any of each other in the room or at a bar and they was like, oh, I had no social media, then it's like, cool. If you look normal and you're chilled, great.
So what are you voting, green flag
or
red flag?
Well, if a guy came on the street, hey, you want to go on a date, love? I don't have Instagram. It's like, well, you know, I'm going to set you up on a cool new social media called Crime Stoppers.
Okay, case by case situation.
But look, from the judge of the audience, it still looks like the Greens got it. So that is an official green flag.
Green flag. All right, what's our next one?
They're good friends with their ex.
Okay, put your cards up. Green flag or red flag?
I'm seeing more red.
They're like, it's nuanced. It is nuanced.
Yeah, it's nuanced. It's very grey.
I think it depends on how long ago. I do not believe that you should be friends with an ex if you just broke up. That's ridiculous.
You need
at least a year no contact and then work from the bottom up. Start again. If they're like, oh, we dated when we were in high school and we realised we were just friends and it's been 10 years and now we're best buds, great.
Yeah. I think it's a green flag overall for me, though. I feel like it's a sign of emotional maturity. It kind of shows that maybe there wasn't like some kind of toxicity. You were like able to like maintain a friendship. But I don't know. It's tough. Dave?
Right, Dave?
I don't think it's tough at all. Oh. What the...
All right, fuck my
what
drag.
What the fuck? Yeah, if you haven't talked for a year and then they... Oh, my God, it's been a year. We've got so much to catch up on. No. It's a red flag.
All right.
Woo!
Cool. Okay. They keep their socks on during sex. Red flag or green flag?
I'm seeing more red. I'm seeing more red.
This is the loudest the discussion's gotten the whole night.
I feel like people on first dates are really getting to know each other right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a whole argument happening in the back there.
Fists are getting thrown.
Order!
All right, what do you think?
I think it's a green flag. I personally, God forbid, I have poor circulation and I'm going to be more horny when my feet are warm.
So you're telling me you're looking at a completely naked body, except for some socks with probably have some characters on them, depending on who they are. Well, you look funky socks. People like funky socks. And you're telling me that hasn't given you the ick?
Nah, I think it's sexy. I think it's cool. I think they care about their body, and the socks stay on during sex, right? They stay on.
Sick. All right, Dave.
I think there has to be intention with the socks, like, you know. Like, you know, if you got like knee high socks.
Oh, you're talking like slutty off.
Yeah, you're gonna slut it up a bit.
Okay.
Like, no, like if you here's the thing, if you show up with like two ankle mismatched socks and then you're like, I'm ready to fuck, like, listen, you better go back to the closet or the washing machine, find some fucking matching socks. So I think just for this one, just because this one was so controversial, we might need to do a sound round. So can we get. You can lift it up, but you can lift it up and all that still, but I just need sound as well. I need some hooting, some hollering, and this is the last time you can really fight for your choice, all right? So if you think wearing socks during sex is a red flag, make some noise. Green flag. One more for red flag. One more for green.
Yeah, come on.
Fuck, I think green has it.
I think it does. There's some really strong, passionate greens over here that won that over.
They sleep on a single bed.
Straight up.
I see a green flag.
I see maybe four or five. Okay. It's nice to see the room mostly agreeing, actually. We've been fighting this whole time, you guys.
Do you want to admit something to the audience, Pip?
Do I?
I think you do, babe.
Well, someone I'm dating it right now, when I first met them, he was like, I sleep on a bunk bed. And honestly, I was excited about it. I was like, okay, wait. So, like, what does that mean? Like, when I'm over you, I'll literally be like, okay, I'm going top bunk. Deep top bunk. Like, what does that mean? So.
What? Hold on.
That was my reaction.
Does he share a room with someone? Like, is it?
You know, it's not a dorm. It was just a regular house and a regular room.
So he's got a bunk bed.
Yep.
And does he swap beds throughout the week? Like, when he's feeling a little depressed, he's like, I guess it's a bottom bunk night. Like,
no, not that I know of. We didn't mix it up, which I feel like missed opportunity, you know?
Yeah, damn.
Yeah.
Has he still got it?
No, sadly. We're back to single, well, not single bed. Oh, God, no. Man. That's a red flag.
This guy is moving up.
Single
in the world.
Level.
King single level. Now.
And you know what? Maybe it took a little je ne sais quoi out of the relationship. I kind of miss it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's.
I think it was
red.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can all agree. That's a red flag.
That's a red flag.
Single beds, red flag. Yeah, I do decree.
All right, Dave. I'm so glad that you made it today.
Yeah, thank you.
It was touch and go.
Thank you for not sleeping through our show.
It was touch and go,
but I think I knew that this was important.
Everyone give it up for Dave Woodhead.
We love you.
Love you, Dave. Oh, okay, it's time now to face your dilemmas, your problems, your issues. Let's start off with this one. Is an artistic nude portraiture appropriate to hang in a house that children visit? I assume that's like of yourself, like a...
Yeah, we're talking like Samantha from Sex and the City, and it's just like a full-blown photo shoot of her naked lying on a couch.
I think that you shouldn't change your house aesthetic for anybody, including children.
Also, why are we shaming naked bodies?
Literally, they're going to see it somehow. You know, they're going to see it from their parents or they're going to, like, get a really crazy porn pop up, you know. It's going to happen. So I think keep the portrait up there.
If anything, make it bigger.
Yeah.
get a few naked bodies so you can have a bit of a sit-down educational session with your kid and explain that all bodies are beautiful.
Diversity is
important. And all bodies are different.
Yeah. Okay, next. Do you want to read this one?
That's me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, this one said, if you're on a first date and the person says they're a parking inspector, what do you do?
Instantly leave. Instantly leave. Now, I'll tell you.
We don't even need to discuss this. Like,
there isn't anything I hate more in the whole entire world, and all my friends know this, I refuse to pay them, than parking fines. I will never pay a parking fine. I don't care. Put me in jail. Lock me up.
She's on record for that.
I do not care.
She's how many do you reckon I've got?
I think you've got maybe about like 50 to 70.
Yeah.
Like it's actually a problem.
And most of them are just at work. Yeah. Pip and I will do a show. I'll like walk to my car and then people just get a text with the photo of the fucking phone.
It's actually quite stressful.
We live in a democracy. That is criminal to me. We should be able to park wherever we want. Yeah. Anyway, that was me on it. Thank you.
Don't date a parking inspector. They don't deserve love. We said it.
Send them to therapy.
Yes. This person here says, what's a good foot care routine for a girl? GF gives me foot jobs, but they're quite often very dry. You know what? Well, you actually gave me tips on this.
I actually did a foot care routine the other day for no particular reason. Basically, if you go to your chemist, they have those like sleevey sleeve things.
Yeah, you
can put
told
over your
me
feet.
This.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So you basically just sit in these sleeves, you put your feet in, you sit for like an hour, you're just watching Netflix, whatever, or any streaming platform you like to watch. And you let it brew. And then basically, like magic, 10 days later, all the skin off your feet peel off.
But you have to realize that it's going to come off in sheets and your socks everywhere. Will fill up with them. It's fucked.
Everywhere. You'll just have droppings of skin all around your house.
It's really gnarly.
But you will never find silkier, smoother feet in your whole entire life. And then... Who was that? And then you can buy the same sleeves, but for moisturizing. So once you've done that technique, you buy the sleeves for moisturizing, you sit, watch a show, 2 hours later, the most soft, gorgeous, moist feet you'll ever find.
You know what?
There you go. You're welcome.
I feel like on that note.
And that was for free.
I feel like on that note, that was a good place to end it. Moist feet, care for your GFBF, they, them.
That is the hookup in a nutshell, really.
Honestly, yeah.
This has been so much fun, and I wish we could keep going, but there are other comedians, apparently, so
yeah,
they have to use this venue. But thank you so much, everyone.
We love you.
Love you.
Goodbye.